October 30th, 2012, in Vrindavan, Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 16, Part 1. So I don't know, why this is not functioning. So in Chapter 15, we discuss what is Ragatmika Bhakti, what is spontaneous devotion, and now in Chapter 16, we're going through how to achieve it. Now, you have a really nice summary in your book. It's a very short summary, but it's very pithy and accurate. So one must be free of all anartis, and from the platform, of Nista, one begins a sadhana of Raganuga. It's a sadhana, we understand it's a sadhana because of its location in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And how to practice Raganuga? Think of Krishna, meditate on the relationship of service between Krishna and this devotee. Do not manifest your meditation externally, behave like a neophyte, and gradually you'll develop the sentiments of a devotee you're following. And two types, Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga. And better to follow the footsteps of a devotee than to try to want that devotee's position, which can become Mayavada. So this is the right here in your study guide, this little three-quarter page summary is a very nice explanation of Chapter 16. So it's succinct, something you can understand in just a couple minutes. So we're going to go through now in some more depth, but this is just an excellent, excellent summary. Okay, first we're going to talk about eligibility for Raganuga Bhakti. What was the eligibility for sadhana bhakti in general? Some proclivity, some taste. So here again, we have that the main eligibility is desire or taste. And this is consistent with sadhana bhakti in general. The main eligibility for going from Vaidhi sadhana bhakti to Raganuga sadhana bhakti is that you want to. Now, when we say want to, we don't mean want to like somebody says, I want to make a lot of money. So research shows that most people want to have 10% more money than they have, no matter how much money they have. And when you get more money, again, you want 10% more money. But most people who want more money, what do they do about it? Much? Do they do much? No. No. Just like people who are overweight, they say, I want to lose weight. But many times they don't do very much about it. So when we say you want it, we don't just mean, oh yeah, I'd like it. I'd like to be pure devotee. I'd like to love Krishna spontaneously. I'd like to go back to Godhead. We don't mean that kind of wanting it. We mean something you want very intensely. It's consuming. Remember the definition of raga? Anybody want to go back and look at what is the definition of raga? I know it's been 2 days. Yeah, but what was the full definition? Absorbed in thinking. We can go back and look here. Spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed in thoughts of it with an intense desire of love. So if we think about an intense desire of love, who here has ever felt for anything or anyone an intense desire of love? Come on. Nobody else here has ever really intensely loved anyone or anything? My goodness. Sad life. So, an intense desire of love, that you're absorbed in something. So that kind of desire, not just an ordinary kind of desire. The desire that the little child has for the mother. Prabhupada would always make this comparison. So there's some construction going on next to our apartment building. And some of the people working there are young women with little children. Okay? And you hear some of these babies just crying and 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 crying because the mother's working and nobody's taking care. So the child doesn't stop crying. They just cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Intense. So this intense longing. So this is the qualification. So to begin any Vaidhi sadhana, you just have to have a small taste. You have to have some. We gave that example of the traveling Sankirtan party, right? Tamakrishna Maharaj's traveling party, and Ravindra Suprabhu just asking people, do you like the food? Do you like the music? And they'd say, yeah, it's good. Okay, that was their qualification. And if they'd say, oh, it was okay, then they'd leave them alone. So just to begin Vaidhi sadhana, you need to have at least the yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's nice. I like it. I'm interested. But for Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, it has to be more intense than that. It has to be, I want Krishna. And some attraction to Krishna as a person. Some attraction to Krishna as a person. Not just attraction to Krishna as a philosophical idea. So in the beginning, maybe one just has faith. Oh, I'd like to become self-realized. You know, all these descriptions of Krishna, they sound really nice. The spiritual world sounds really nice. But you're not really attached to Krishna. So there has to be that. And then the other qualification, I think, can everybody understand the first qualification? Is that pretty clear? Okay, if you've ever had any strong attachment to any other living entity or any object or any activity or anything with a strong desire with an attachment where you can't stop thinking about that and you really want it and you're prepared to undergo a lot of sacrifices to get it. As I said, one of my favorite classes is the one Prabhupada gave in Sanan, India about Bhagavad Gita 7.1, Maya Shakta Manaparta. And he said, everybody knows what is attachment. So you people that didn't raise your hand, I don't believe you. I'm sure you have had some attachment to something. I mean, maybe when you were a child to your mother and you don't remember anymore. But we've all had some attachment to someone, you know, another human, an animal, a place, an activity, something. Now maybe we only had the attachment, you know, for an hour or a day or something like that. But that kind of attachment to Krishna. So does everybody understand that? Okay. That has to have awakened. Now, yes.
It's wired, it's loose.
Oh, okay. Now, it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada says that this develops gradually. That once one starts Raganuga Bhakti, it develops gradually. So that means that your eligibility for Raganuga Sadhana would not have to be, because the definition we gave of Raga and Ragatmika is someone who's already achieved Ragatmika Bhakti. You just stole my eraser without even asking me. Just very furtively and quietly came in and just took it. I mean, that's okay, but usually you'd say, is it okay if we take your eraser? Sure, you can. Sure, Prabhu, it's fine. Just please bring it back.
I love you, Ravi.
Hare Krishna. So, please try to understand this very carefully. Please try to understand this very carefully. Ragatmika bhakti, perfected bhakti. Oops. We love technology most of the time. All right, we'll just tolerate it. Oh, thank you so much. Okay.
But they'll come again.
You'll come again, okay. Maybe we can ask the office that we can have two erasers, one for each classroom. Okay. So the perfected Ragatmika Bhakti is when you're absorbed, completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. That's perfection. It's not that the eligibility means that you have to be completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna from the beginning. That's your perfection. Is this clear? I really want to make this clear. Two main points I want to make clear today are the eligibility and the method. And we'll talk a little bit about the rest of the chapter, but those two things. You don't have to be perfect to be eligible to be in the process to become perfect. You don't have to already be perfect. To join a dance school, you don't already have to be a perfect dancer. So the eligibility for Raganuga Bhakti is not you already have to be a Ragatmika Bhakta. That's your goal. So eligibility doesn't... Yes?
The mic is not working.
No. No, it's not working. It works off and on.
That's fine.
It works, doesn't work, work, doesn't work. They said there's a loose wire.
You can...
Yeah. So if you want to play with it... But you can all hear me, right?
Yeah.
And we don't need a fan right now, so we're okay. Problem is when the fans are all on high, and then I have to shout. So what kind of desire... Is this theory, everybody? Is this just theory? Is this just some theory, or is this something we all want to use? Does everybody want to... Who here wants to enter into Ragatmika Bhakti? If you don't, you're in the wrong movement. Okay, you join another movement. You can join the Sri Sampradaya. They're not interested in Ragatmika Bhakti. So I'm serious. No. We followers of Mahaprabhu, we're interested in Ragatmika Bhakti. So it would be good to know when we're eligible to start to practice Raganuga Bhakti, right? Now at the beginning of the class on Nectar Devotion, I got a lot of questions like that. Do you all remember asking those questions way back in the beginning of the class? You know, how do I know when I'm ready for Raganuga Bhakti? And I kept saying, we would discuss it a little bit, but I would say we'll discuss it later. So a lot of people think that the qualification for starting Raganuga Bhakti is you already have to be perfect in Raganuga Bhakti. Does that make sense? No. And Prabhupada uses the word gradual in this chapter, that you gradually start following this resident of Vrindavan. Now what has to happen is this intense desire at least has to awaken. Yes? Do we need some? Yes. We should call this the interruption class. Yes?
The eligibility for Raganuga Bhakti is intense awakening of desire.
It's awakening of an intense desire. That's one. There's two eligibilities. There's two. That's one. Two of them. So the first is desire. So I'm trying to explain what is this desire. What is this desire? I want you to think of this now, again, because Srila Prabhupada says, only because Srila Prabhupada says, that we've all had experience of this attachment. We all know what it is. The only difference is the object. We're all familiar with what it is. So I'd like each of you to think about some, it could be an activity, something you wanted to do, some place you wanted to go, some object you wanted to have, some other human being that you felt strongly about. Now maybe for some of you it's an aversion. Maybe for some of you will have an experience of a human being you really did not want to see, or a place you really didn't want to go, or an activity you really didn't want to do. But something that was consuming, where your thoughts became absorbed and your desires were very strong, such that they pushed other things out of your awareness. Now, did you generally feel like this 24 hours a day for that thing? Maybe. Can you all remember something like that? Maybe some of you have something like that in your mind today. But I'm sure you all have had something, yes? Something. So do you necessarily think of it 24 hours a day and when you're sleeping? Maybe. Maybe not. So at the perfection, we're thinking about Krishna 24 hours a day. But in starting Raghunuga Bhakti, it doesn't have to start being 24 hours a day. That's the perfection. You remember the meditation stages we looked at when we were looking at meditation and looking at NOI text 8 and Jiva Dharma references? So do you remember at a certain point it got to be uninterrupted? Right? We were stirring the burfi. And at first we were stirring it and it gets interrupted and stirring it and interrupted. And after all it's uninterrupted and then it becomes concentrated. So starting Raghunuga Bhakti, we don't expect it to be uninterrupted.
Mataji, one person has started writing this on, another person has started writing notes on. Another people?
All right. So when the desire awakens at all, when it awakens at all, when there's some awakening of that desire to love Krishna in a particular way. Now, what does that mean? We talked about this earlier, way in the beginning of Nectar Devotion, when we were talking just about the distinctions between sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. And I gave the example, just like if you see a small child or even a baby animal, you may feel protective. It just comes naturally. There's some natural protective feeling that comes. Or you see a friend and there's a natural feeling, especially now during Kartik. I'm sure all of us are seeing friends, correct? Yes? We're seeing friends sometimes we haven't seen for many years or from distant places, and as soon as you see them, you have some feeling of friendship. And how do you describe what is that? What is that? If someone says, what does friendship feel like? I don't know. But it's just like saying, what does a mango taste like? How do you describe it? I mean, there are experts in tasting food who can tell you what a mango tastes like, exactly. But for me, I can't say. I can say, well, it's juicy, it's sweet, it's got a strong taste, but I can't really get it. What does friendship feel like? I don't know exactly how to explain it. But I know what it feels like. I know when I'm feeling friendship. I know when I'm feeling that I want to serve somebody. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like if I'm feeling parental, if I'm feeling protective. I know what romantic feelings feels like. We all know what these feel like, right? Everybody understands what these feel like? When you start feeling one of those in relation to Krishna. So first thing would be in relation to Krishna. It's a feeling. It's a desire. It's not just something intellectual. It's not just something you read in the books and you say, oh, I might like to be a cowherd boy. That sounds like fun. It's a feeling of friendship for Krishna. And you actually start, you experience it on the level of feeling. The word bhava can mean a living entity, is, to be. It also means emotion. There is some feeling. Now, of course, the spiritual feelings have a different quality than the material feelings. And again, I've explained this many, many times. Just like if you eat a peach from a shop and you eat a peach ripened on a tree, the experience is different. Or my voice through the microphone and my voice without the microphone, the quality is different. I can make the volume the same, but it's a different quality. The sound quality is different. Or I used to do a lot of shopping in India for devotees. And I got to be able to recognize by feel different kinds of cloth. So you may, you know, sometimes you look at a cloth, is it silk or is it polyester, right? You're not sure, but there's a difference. And if you're expert, you can tell. What is the difference? Feels difference, and silk breathes, and polyester makes you sweat. Right? It's different in quality, the natural and the synthetic. So not only is there a feeling like this for Krishna, but the quality is different from a material feeling. So if you feel some friendship for Krishna, but it feels different than material friendship, it has something deeper and richer to it than what you'd feel on the material level. So first eligibility is that feeling comes. Does it need to be there 24 hours to be eligible? No, that's the perfection. That's not the beginning. If you're waiting for that before you start Raganuga Sadhana, then you're going to wait a long time, because that's what you do. That's your goal of Raganuga Sadhana. Then our next eligibility, Prabhupada talks about, is being free from anartis. And so might as well talk about being liberated. Right? He says here, there is a stage called anarta nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. So Prabhupada's using the word here, all. But when is all material contamination gone? This is an interesting day today. So when, is everybody okay out there? They okay? The bulls were fighting. Krishna likes to see the bulls fighting, but sometimes when they fight too much, he tells them to stop. So when is all material contamination gone? At prema. Now this Raganuga is in the part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that deals with what part of bhakti? Sadhana, bhava, or prema? Sadhana. Not bhava. Sadhana. This is before bhava. Bhava is the next chapter. This is sadhana. This is practice bhakti. So when Prabhupada says all material contamination is gone, is that literal? No, couldn't be. And Prabhupada's talking about anarta nivritti. Now, really, all anartas are not gone until prema. So it's interesting, this anarta nivritti stage, because in one sense, anarta nivritti is going on from the very beginning. As soon as you have adushraddha and you have some association with devotees and you say Krishna, and you eat one piece of burfi, and then immediately anartas are going. And the subtle form of anartas are still going until prema. I really suggest, if you're really interested in this, that you read Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. If you're really interested in the process. Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a very short book. Very, very short. I mean, it's like this big. Not sure. I don't remember the color. I don't remember the color. All my books were in storage for 7 years. I used to have 4,000 books. Now I only have about 200. But they were in storage for about 7 years. Now they're finally on bookshelves, but I hardly ever see them. I just, at least now I know they're on bookshelves. So most of my books now I read on the computer, and there's no green, purple, yellow, anything. They're just all on the computer. So I don't know what color. But Dina Bandhu Prabhu at the Vrindavan Temple arranged for one translation of Madhurya Kadambini. That's a very, 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 very short book. And it's, if you're interested in the progression of bhakti and the stages, although you do all remember again way back in the beginning, we talked about that people are not necessarily totally in one stage, right? Remember this? Everybody remember this? Or totally in another stage. There's some fluidity.
Mataji, that book does talk about the second thing that the meditation or serving might.
Not really. No. Madhurya Kadambini basically talks about looking at the stages of bhakti from Shraddha to Prema. And it deals somewhat with method, but not so much.
Deals with the symptoms.
It's mostly the symptoms of each stage. Yes. And again, I'm going off in a little branch here, but I've identified, I look back at my list, I've identified 19 different ways that the process of bhakti is described. Shraddha to prema is one of 19 ways. And each way describes things a little differently. And you cannot, at least I cannot, and I have not been able to find anyone who can. Maybe somebody can, but I have not been able to correlate each way with each other way on a one-to-one basis. Just like when we were talking about Kanista, Majjhima, and Uttama. And remember, how many different Kanista, Majjhima, and Uttama descriptions were there? Three. Did they all correlate with each other? No. So the Kanista in one way is not a Kanista in another way. And similarly, people will look at this Shraddha to Prema and they'll try to put, okay, the Kanista, Majjhima, and Uttama and line it up. But which Kanista, Majjhima, and Uttama are you lining up and where are you lining? It's looking at different things. It's just like looking at someone's physical development and social development and intellectual development and emotional development. You're looking at it from a different lens. Like if you talk about offensive chanting, clearing stage, and pure chanting. And you say, okay, from Shraddha to Prema, where does clearing stage start exactly? You can't draw a line from one to the other. So just keep all that in mind when you're looking at this kind of thing. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura makes it very clear in Madhurya Kadambini that an artana vritti starts in the beginning and it continues until prema. However, there's a particular stage called an artana vritti. Why? Anyone have any idea why? An artana vritti means you're getting rid of the junk.
Till that point, everything is gone. All the anarthas are...
Well, no, we said all the anarthas are only finished at prema. So after the anarthana vritti stage, there's still anarthas. Yes, because anarthas finish when? At prema. You all know the stages? Should I write it on the board? Would that help? Problem is, as I don't have any light chalk anymore, and if I use other colored chalk, some of you tell me you can't see it. So we have Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Rajana Kriya, Anartha, Vritti, Nista, Ruchi, Shakti, Bhava, Prema. So sadhana bhakti is going to here. So this anartana vritti is happening. Anartana vritti is actually happening from here to here. All of this, there's all anartana vritti is happening there. And when you take your first bite of a samosa, a prasadam samosa, until you actually are achieved full love of God, you're getting rid of anarthas. So why have a separate stage if it's everywhere? What's the idea of the separate stage? Yes?
During this stage, prominently because of bhajan kriya, most of the...
Yes. This is the main business. So when a person has initial faith, their main business isn't getting rid of anarthas. It's happening, but it's not the concentration. When one is associating with devotees, that means you're like coming to the temple sometimes, you're coming to the Sunday feast, inviting some people over to your house, trying to chant Hare Krishna. It's not your main business. You're hardly even aware you have anarthas. Now it starts to really be the main business actually here. Because the main anarthas that Śrīla Prabhupāda will consistently mention, when Prabhupāda talks about anarthana vritti, he consistently mentions four anarthas. Yes. Meeting the intoxication was the sex game. consistently, when Prabhupada talks about an artist, he consistently mentions intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating again. Very, very, very consistently. So that happens at least, hopefully, grossly. It happens in Bhajana Kriya because that's, during Bhajana Kriya is when one does what? What do you do in Bhajana Kriya?
Form service.
Yes, yes, who said that? Yes. You take, it's when you take your vows. Initiation happens in Bhajana Kriya. So in Bhajana Kriya you say, okay, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating, and no gambling. Yes.
How does this list correspond to Vedi Bhakti, Raghurava Bhakti, Bhava and Prema?
Okay. Again, whenever you try to take one list and correlate it to another list, whenever you take any list of the progress of bhakti and try to match it up to another list of the progress of bhakti, you're not going to get a one-to-one correspondence. And I don't know how to emphasize this strongly enough because I see many devotees try to do that. You're just not. The terms and the ideas used in one list are somewhat different than the terms and the ideas used in another list. However, having said that, this is sadhana bhakti. This is bhava bhakti. This is prema bhakti. That's what we're talking about. What I'm doing right now is trying to answer that question. That's where I'm going. What's the eligibility for Raghunuga Bhakti? So one eligibility is, what did we talk about already?
Desire.
What kind of desire?
I want Krishna.
Krishna, an idea?
No, person.
The person. And I want Krishna how? Intensely and in a particular way. It's got to awaken in a particular way. I want Krishna as my child. I want Krishna as a lover. I want Krishna as a friend. I want Krishna as a master. And now, does that awaken as an idea?
Spontaneously.
It awakens spontaneously.
Over time.
The first awakening is spontaneous, and it's a what? It's a feeling. It's a feeling. It's a desire. It's like a feeling that you have something like, not the same, but something like a feeling, oh, I really want to be this person's friend. That happens to us, right? We meet somebody and we think, wow, I'd really like to be friends with that person. Or you meet someone and you think, I'd really like to serve this person. I feel very inspired by this person. I'd really like to serve them. Or you meet someone and think, I'd like to take care of this person. I'd like to help this person. Or you meet someone and think, I want to marry this person. Clear? Yes.
You said that desire should be intense and a particular way.
Yes.
But that particular way, how will you return that intensity? How you will find that particular way?
It finds you.
So it means Radha.
It finds you.
Because it will go over anything.
Yes, it finds you. That's like saying, you know, where does the desire come to be a friend of somebody's? Where does it come from? How can you say? I mean, you can talk about circumstances. So maybe, like, I have some people here in Vrindavan. I'm thinking about one person in particular who was a very good friend of mine. So many, many years ago, I asked one devotee, I said, can you recommend some lady here in Vrindavan who's like this? And he said, yes, why don't you go see this person? So there was some recommendation from somebody else that I trusted. I had some faith in somebody. You follow? And he said, oh, she's like this, like this, like this. And then I went to see her, And the first time I went to see her, she had a big sign up in her house. No nonsense talk, no gossip, like that. Only talk about Krishna. And as soon as I saw that sign, I thought, I'm going to like this lady. So I saw some of her qualities. And then I had been told she was very sick. And I said, so I heard you're sick. How are you? She said, which me? And then I thought, I'm really going to like this lady. And now we become very close friends. So how did that feeling of friendship come? Well, from association. I met somebody who was already this person's friend. From some faith, from the person I met who was already her friend. And then from some interaction. So how do these feelings for Krishna come? They're spontaneous in one sense. At a certain point they come, but how do they come? They come from the process of sadhana bhakti. They come from, I'm associating with guru, I'm associating with sadhus, I'm hearing the scriptures, I'm doing service for Krishna, I'm thinking about Krishna, right? And because Krishna is very attractive, they'll come. Unless you're not really doing bhakti, unless you're doing karma mishra bhakti or gyan mishra bhakti or something else. Trying to be a smarta Brahman in the Hare Krishna movement or whatever. You understand? So if you're not actually doing bhakti, then they may not come. Or if you're really offending the devotees, they may not come. So if you're doing all your sadhana, but you're going around always offending devotees, then it may not come. But if you're doing real bhakti and you're not offending the devotees, it should come. It's natural. Krishna is very attractive. Yes?
How is it different from
Sarup City? Is the perfect, is, well, it's further. It's further on the line of perfection.
Perfecting this part.
Yes, this starts with something more intuitive. This is the start. Just like when I saw that lady's sign and she said something to me, I had a feeling I would like to be her friend. Was I her friend at that point? No. But I had a strong feeling I would like to be this person's friend. Or, you know, you may hear about some young woman and you hear about her and you see her and you think, oh, I might like to marry her. You're not married yet, but you have some idea. You follow?
Yes.
There's some feeling. You might see someone and think, oh, I would like to marry her. Wow. And there's a feeling. But she doesn't even know you're on the planet. There's nothing established yet. And then you need to establish, you know, you may, if it's ideal society, you go to your parents and you say, oh, I saw this young woman and I'm in love with her. You know. Can you check it out? But there's a feeling. Or that may go the other way. You know, your parents find somebody and they introduce you to them and you see them and say, wow. But it hasn't yet been established. So Swarup city means perfection. Swarup is your form. So that's the perfection of your form. But Raghunuga Sadhana can't start with perfection. If you learn one thing from this class, is that you don't start by with perfection. You end at perfection. The eligibility for starting isn't the same as the result of finishing. So if that's all you get from today, that would be valuable. You don't have to be perfect to start on the path of perfection. Yes?
But at the end, isn't the attraction ever increasing?
Yes.
So it's not just...
Yes, attraction is ever increasing. But just like at initiation, there's a certain point where you actually take initiation. There's a certain point where a person gets married. There's a certain point where a person enrolls in a school. there are certain point where you graduate. It's not that when you graduate from a school you don't learn anything anymore. We hope. It's not that after you get your Bhakti Shastra degree then you never touch Srila Prabhupada's books again for the rest of your life. I have nothing more to learn. Why don't you read Prabhupada's? Oh, I learned everything in the Bhakti Shastra class. I don't need to learn anymore. But there is a certain point where you can say you got your Bhakti Shastri certificate. So there's a certain point where you get your Swarup and you enter into Krishna's Leela. That doesn't mean now there's nothing, you know, everything's finished. But there is a certain point that you can say that there's perfection. Right? Okay, about the Anartha Nivritti. So, does anyone have any other questions about the desire part? Yes.
How do you... it can also... Because it's like a feeling, it can be easily mistaken maybe for some mundane...
It can't be mistaken for something mundane. No, it cannot be mistaken for something.
Like what about the like material...
It cannot be mistaken for something mundane.
But one can't... You know.
I suppose it's possible for someone to mistake something mundane for the spiritual. But
yes,
the spiritual cannot be mistaken for the mundane.
Yes, I mean the other way around.
Good, and actually I'm really glad you brought this up because can you... We'll just say that now, but when we start talking briefly about Sahaja, we'll get into that again. And remind me if I forget.
Try.
Please, everyone else, try to remind me again. It is possible to think something material is spiritual, but it's not possible to think something material, spiritual is material. It just isn't. If you don't remember or you never tasted a real peach, and I use a peach because that was just my experience. Actually, my first experience with a real peach was when I was in the New York Temple and we went to a fruit orchard where they said we could pick the remaining fruit that was on the tree. Somebody who ran the orchard. They picked all the fruit and they said, anything that's left, you can come and take for free for your temple. So we went and picked boxes and boxes and boxes of this fruit. And on the way back, so my child was very young. I don't think he was even a year old and he was hungry. So we just offered one peach in the car, and he ate like half of it, and I ate the other half. And I said, wow, until now I've never actually had a peach. So once you taste organically grown, locally grown, tree-ripened fruit, you'll never think that that's the same taste as the supermarket chemically ripened fruit. You just can't make that mistake. It's not possible. The quality of the taste is completely different. But if you haven't had tree-ripened fruit, you might eat a peach from the supermarket and think that's a real peach. So that's very possible. Or you could eat frozen peaches or canned peaches. You know, the stuff they serve on the airplanes that they call fruit. So you could eat something like that and you might think, oh, this is a peach. That's possible. But once you have a real peach, you'd never think this is material.
Because they call it a peach, it looks like a peach.
Right. And in some ways it's a peach. I mean, in some ways, the material things we experience, they're also connected with Krishna. It's not that they're not, everything's connected with Krishna. So even the perverted material rasas that we experience, the only reason there's any pleasure in them at all is that they're connected with Krishna. Otherwise, we wouldn't enjoy them at all. So there is some Krishna there, but you know, it's a drop of water compared to an ocean. Okay, looking at Anartha Nivritti, the idea is that after taking initiation, the main concentration for a while is going to be on getting rid of anarthas. That's going to be the main thing that's happening. Should be. It's possible to get stuck here and not do much work on this. That's entirely possible. You can get stuck anywhere here. So it's possible to do that. You can take initiation and go through the externals of the process and not really do much heart cleaning. That's entirely possible. Like Prabhupada said in the earlier chapter, if you don't want to clean your heart and you want to leave everything the way it is. So if you're not really interested in cleaning your heart, you can engage in the activities of bhakti in a very superficial way, just to get a nice room and nice prasadam and things like that. Yeah.
If one is following four regular principles, does that apply to one? That one is not getting rid of anartha?
It's interesting you say that. I mean, just from a practical point of view, I think what we see is that people who are not working at cleaning the heart tend to go again, I keep repeating this, in two directions. Either their heart gets hard, either they harden themselves or they fall. Because Ananda Maya Vyasat, we're pleasure-seeking beings. So if you're not getting spiritual pleasure, and you're not getting spiritual pleasure, and you're not getting spiritual pleasure month after month, year after year, decade after decade, you'll go back to the material pleasure. You can't just stay in a dry place. You just can't. You can stay in a dry place for a little while, but not very long. So if people start following the regulative principles, the four regulative principles, but they don't really want to clean their heart, after a while, then they may fall down in some of those principles, especially we've seen the sex one. Right? This is just our practical experience.
Does it relate to sort of like slackness also? Like not necessarily falling down, but...
It can be, you know.
Yeah,
not wanting to clean the heart. Basically not wanting to clean the dust from the heart. Cleaning the dust from the heart, especially in the beginning, is not pleasant. Just isn't. Why isn't it? Because what we're doing is dismantling the ahankara, and our ahankara is what we believe is ourself. So it feels like you're dismantling yourself. And it's very painful. But after you've dismantled a big chunk of this false self, the real self starts to manifest, and then you can't wait to get rid of the stuff. You know, it's just like if you're cleaning a pot that's all black, and then you're cleaning, it's like, and finally you start seeing a little bit of the pot. Then it gets exciting. Then you get encouraged. And Srila Prabhupada says that until nishtha, it's a hard struggle with determination. There's not a whole lot of spiritual taste until you get rid of these anarthas. So Prabhupada's saying here that eligibility for Raganuga Bhakti means that you're pretty much, you're out of the anartha nivritti stage. Does that mean you have no more anarthas? Do you still have anarthas? Yes. So if you still have anarthas after anartha nivritti, what's the difference between anartha nivritti and after anartha nivritti? How do you know you're out of the anartha nivritti stage? You become steady. What does that mean?
Is it like you see some of the point, the excitement?
But that's the desire. Having a genuine desire for Krishna means you must be seeing part of the pot. What's the pot? It's us. It's the soul. This desire for Krishna as my master, as my friend, as my lover, as whatever, that means you're seeing part of the pot. That's what happens. As soon as you see part of the pot, you're going to feel that desire of the soul. Immediately. Clear? So it goes together. If you're feeling some spiritual desire, you must have cleaned off enough anarthas to see some of the self. Now what's really tricky about this is that the devotee looking in their own heart, are they going to feel I've cleaned off all of my anarthas? They're not going to feel that way. In fact, the anarthas that remain at the end of the anartha nivritti stage, what kind of anarthas are those going to be?
More subtle.
Very subtle.
Fame.
Huh?
Some kind of fame also, like sense gratification for fame.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be starting to look at the root of things. You're going to be starting to look at like this desire for fame, this original envy of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Vajana Rahasya compares the Trinadapisamichena verse to Nista, feeling very humble. So when the devotee is actually attained near the end of it, this is the paradox. Someone who's actually cleaned off most of the anartas, do they feel that they're free? No. Where someone at the beginning who hasn't cleaned off almost any anartas, how do they feel?
Perfect.
I'm perfect. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur talks about this, the false confidence. I'm a devotee. I don't have any anartas. Take a 10-minute break.